living streams of water, clean and cold. Living streams of water wash away my
Hi, this is Pastor Greg Rubel of Living Streams Community Church in McCordsville, Indiana. We want to thank you for your interest in God's Word and this message. We pray that God puts it into your heart.
Streams of water wash away my home.
Take your Bibles and turn to Luke chapter 2. We're going to look at verses 22 to 32 this morning. Well, it's that time of year again that we have to start thinking about taking down the Christmas tree. If it's not, somebody's going to be mad at you. You don't want to leave the Christmas tree up too long, you know, right? 2017 has only got a few hours left in it, and That is always exciting. And 2018, getting ready to get going with really cold temperatures and some hopefully really good football games. I hope you enjoyed our series this year here at Living Streams, the songs of the season we celebrated. All those songs in the Christmas story in the Bible, and then, you know, the stories that we heard from about carols that we sing. I wanted to thank Casey for writing all those for us. She did an awesome job. We are just part of a choir that's been put together for a really long time singing about the birth of Christ. So, you know, this goes back a ways. And we're thankful for those faithful people, and here we are. We got one more song to look at from the story of Jesus today, and it just happens a few days after he's born at the temple, when his mom and dad take him there to fulfill the law of God. He goes to be named, he goes to be dedicated, and he goes to be circumcised there. While they're there, they meet a man. And he has been clinging to a promise that God had given him. And the day that Jesus shows up at the temple is the day that this man starts to sing a worship song over God. So this is the Song of Simeon. New Year's Day is a complicated holiday. You know, I mean, Christmas is tough, you know, for lots of people. But, you know, we can zero in on the birth of Christ and find love and joy there. And you know, I think no matter what's going on in our life, but New Year's, man, it's kind of hard. You know, you come to this time of year and you think, man, I got another whole year ahead of me. And how am I going to do that? You know, this last year was tough. I'm glad to say goodbye to 2017. You know, but how am I going to do another year? And then, you know, for followers of Christ, we're all running after Jesus. We're all pursuing him at some pace. And sometimes when we're running after him, it sort of feels like we're running on a treadmill. You know, and it just, you know, it hurts to run on a treadmill. And it feels the same as if you were out there on the open road, taking in God's creation, doing this great adventure with God. But sometimes it doesn't feel that way. How am I going to keep going? How am I going to keep going? Well, in the Song of Simeon, I think there's some help for us to keep going. So let's read those verses, verses 22 to 32. And when the time came for their purification, according to the law of Moses, they brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord, as it is written in the law of the Lord. Every male who first opens the womb shall be called holy to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice according to what is said in the law of the Lord. A pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. Now there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and this man was righteous and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came in the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation that you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel. Let's pray. Oh, Heavenly Father, we thank you for your goodness and faithfulness to us that we find in this treasure in the Word here. We get to open up your words to us, and we can do that every day. And so we thank you for that freedom. And we pray, Lord, that right now our hearts would be open and good soil for your Word, that it would bear fruit even this last day of 2017 in our lives. We thank you for your Holy Spirit whom you've given us, and pray he might fill us today to be followers that are following you pretty hard. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So those verses, they begin with another prelude of sorts to the Song of Simeon. You know, actually the verses there, as they start, that's the main event. Simeon's song's kind of the encore to what happened there with Jesus. And so the first encouragement I can give you to press on in 2018 is to get in on God's word. Get in on God's word. Verse 25 introduces Simeon to us as a righteous and devout man. He loved God. He was living the best he could according to God's laws. And the Holy Spirit was upon him. And that's all we really get about Simeon. You know, we don't get much more. But you know what? I think that's enough. I mean, he might have been a priest. He might have been old. But he is definitely a man of God, full of the Holy Spirit. And I was thinking, you know, if that was all that could be said about me, I'd be a happy guy. Verse 26 tells us that Simeon had received a word from God through the Holy Spirit. He was told that he was going to see Jesus, the Messiah of Jerusalem, of the world, before he died. What an incredible promise. I mean, that is absolutely amazing. I mean, everybody is looking for Jesus. Everybody's looking for the Messiah. And Simeon is the one guy who promised that he's going to see him with his own eyes before he dies. What incredible grace that God would let him see the plan of salvation. I wonder what he was expecting to see. You know, there was this expectation the Messiah was going to be this awesome man of God, you know, an awesome law follower. He was going to, you know, be this great leader of men to overthrow the Romans. I bet Simeon was not expecting to see a baby born to Jewish nobodies as the Messiah. If we're going to keep going in our pursuit of Jesus, we need a word from God, given to us through the Holy Spirit. And the best way to get that, the most trusted way to get that, is to get in on God's word. Get in on his word. Now, I know at this time of year, like even today, and there's probably been some thought put into this, but lots of people are going to make New Year's resolutions, right? And lots of people are going to rant against New Year's resolutions. It's just that's what, you know, it's what we do. This is a good time. We got a new year. We got a new start coming tomorrow. You know, number one New Year's resolution is to exercise more. The second one is to quit smoking. Then you got learn something new. Then you drink less. Spend less time on social media. Travel more. Eat better, volunteer somewhere, improve a relationship. That's kind of the top 10 New Year's resolutions that'll be made today, starting tomorrow. So you can still drink a lot tonight. I want to invite you to make a couple New Year's resolutions that you won't find on anybody's top 10 list, but they will help you keep the ones that you do. First one is to get in your Bible more. Get in your Bible more. Simeon couldn't have been the man of God that he was described as without being a man of God's word. There's just no way to do that. I mean, you can count on the fact that he knew our Old Testament. He has been immersed in it. He knew the history of God's people. He knew that they had these promises that God had made. They were expecting a Messiah to come and overthrow the Romans, free them from their enemies. He knew all of those things because he knew his Bible. And somehow, through the Holy Spirit, he got this word from God with that amazing promise. I wouldn't be surprised if it came through the written word of God. And that's the most common trusted way we have today to receive a word from God. Would you like a word from God today? You know, we thought, God just sent me an email. He did better than that. He sent you a whole book. A sermon that John Piper preached 35 years ago. This is what he said. Satan devotes himself 168 hours a week to trying to deceive you and fill your mind with junk. He has seen to it that you are surrounded almost entirely by a Christless culture whose mood and entertainment and advertising and recreation and politics are shot through with lies about what you should feel and think and do. Do you think that in this atmosphere you can maintain a rigorous, powerful, free, renewed mind with a 10-minute glance at God's word every day? The reason there are church people who are basically secular like everyone else except with a religious veneer is they devote 99% of their time to absorbing the trajectories of the world and 1% of their time absorbing the direct trajectories of God's word. If you want to bring forth the will of God in your life, like a mother brings forth a child, you must marry the Bible. For some of you, it is a stranger that you greet on the way to work, but never invite over for a relaxing evening conversation. And you seldom invite them along on vacation to spend significant time. Do not be surprised then if you're ill-equipped to read the trajectories of God's will for your own life. I read those and I didn't know how you would hear those words, but they convict me. They convict me. I mean, you think that's 35 years ago. What, we have 5 TV channels? What do we got today? I mean, the advent of smartphones, we got instant news, easily accessible entertainment. You know, all of that stuff that is so easily available to us. This is the best New Year's resolution I could ask you to make, to get in your Bible more. You know, it's just like that cup of hot water, your brain, and whatever you're immersing in your brain is the way you're going to think. It's just the way it goes. It's physics. Put the tea bag in the water. The longer you leave it in there, the water becomes looking like the tea, stronger and stronger. It is the exact same with your mind and your heart in God's word. You want to be more like Jesus? You want to be spiritually alive in 2018? Do you want God to use you to grow the kingdom? Get in your Bible. Start by getting in your Bible. It's the best New Year's resolution you can make. God cannot compete if we're giving 99% of our attention to the world and 1% to Him. So get in your Bible more. The second resolution is get in your church more. And not just any church, this church, your church. Make 2018 a year that you spend more time in here on Sunday morning and more time during the week connecting with these people that you worship with. Why? I mean, why can't we just watch something on TV and get God's word that way? Isn't it the same? I mean, why can't we just go here to that church and here to this church and that church? Isn't it the same? I'm in church. I'm doing my duty. If that's the way you think, you're getting it wrong. Getting it wrong. Listen, it is amazing how sitting under the preaching of God's word will tune your heart to hear His voice, to get a word from Him. It's amazing. I mean, I can't tell you how many times I listened to my pastor, Pastor Huber, preaching a message that was just for me. God gave a word to me about my calling, about my life, and about how he wanted me to live. I so often would be leaving church on Sunday morning, going past Pastor Huber, going, gee, thanks, man. Thanks for that. I couldn't look him in the eye. It was so convicting. There's a reason for that. Because it's God's word. Listen to 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 to 4. I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and his kingdom. You know, you read that verse and you go, man, he's serious about this. He charges him, preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, and exhort with complete patience and teaching. For the time is coming when people will not endure sound teaching, but have itching ears. They will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passions and will turn away from listening to the truth and wander off into myths. Now, that's Paul's charge to Timothy, a young shepherd who's shepherding a young church in Ephesus. And, you know, I read that and I take that charge very seriously because I know that God has called me to do the same thing with my life, to preach his word. You don't need Greg's wisdom, you need God's wisdom. And I take that so very seriously every week. And here is the thing. This Bible is out of season. It is out of season. You are a ridiculous fool to believe in this book, according to the world. It has no authority. It's just stories put together over time. It's been shot through. Moses didn't write Exodus. Luke didn't write Luke. This is all made up. That's the message of the world. That's the message students get taught in college. Don't send your kid to Harvard Divinity School because they'll come out believing that. Amen? It's God's word, and it has authority, and it is out of season. And that's what's going to get us in trouble, friends. That's what's going to... Us believing this book, us following this book, is what's got us in trouble. Just get ready for it. If you want to be a faithful follower of Christ, expect trouble. It's coming. You know, showing up in church nowadays, there's a trend. And it's that you just kind of show up less, and that's okay. Like, you know, 50% attendance is considered, you know, that's my church. I got a seat. Having a small group a couple times a month, you know, showing up there, that's like the norm. That's like, whoa. But listen, when you're thinking that way, when you look at your life and you make those excuses for how you're doing life with God, looking at the Bible for the rhythm of life, you're looking at everybody else. You cannot find 50% attendance in the Bible. I mean, it's like every day, read Acts chapter 2. Every day. Get in your church more. You know, God did not design us to follow him by ourselves in independence. He designed us to need each other, to grow. Every definition of church in the Bible offers a picture of connectedness, a body, a vine. My growth depends on you, not the church down the street. You. Your growth depends on me. We need each other. That's the way it works. And the reason you need a church home is because somebody needs to know you. Somebody needs to know what's going on in your life. Somebody needs to know what New Year's resolutions you're going to make. And then encourage you to keep after it. And we live in a world, in a pattern of life where nobody knows us. You know? Nobody knows us. We fill Facebook and Instagram with all kinds of stuff about our life, and nobody knows us. That's a level of knowing that we want people to see. But that doesn't mean they really know us. And it really makes you feel alone. Are you known? Are you known? I've always said, you know, the vision of our church is together following Jesus, reaching the world. I've always said from the beginning, together would be the most difficult part of our vision because we are in this crazy busy world and have all this opportunity to do other things. It's the hardest part of our vision. What do we want in our life? You know, that's why we need this resolution. And, you know, here's the thing. There's nothing new about what I'm telling you. It has been going on a long time. Listen to Hebrews chapter 10, 23 to 25. Let us hold tightly without wavering to the hope we affirm. For God can be trusted to keep his promises. Let us think of ways to motivate one another to acts of love and good works. And let us not neglect our meeting together as some people do, but encourage one another, especially now that the day of his return is drawing near. You know, those folks were struggling to meet together because it was dangerous for them to get together. We struggle because we just have trouble making time. We're a weak church, folks. We're weak. We ain't ready for the trouble. And we got to get ready. Does your faith need a word from God? Does your faith need a word from God? I promise you, you make these two resolutions. Get in your Bible, get in your church, and God is going to speak to you. And it's going to change everything about how you see life, how you read the headlines, and how you live. Everything changes when you got him giving you a word. Now, the next encouragement I can give you from Simeon's life is to keep waiting on the work of God in your life. Keep waiting. Now, this is kind of where the rubber meets the road, right, for our faith. We've got this word from God about what he's going to do in our life, and now we need to walk by faith and not by sight that he's going to do it. And verse 25 said, Simeon was waiting for the consolation of Israel. And so God had promised his people, you know, that he was going to rescue them from their enemies. He'd promised them peace in the land. He promised them prominence in the world. And Simeon believed those promises, and he was waiting on the work of God to bring them about. So that's like, you know, this promise he made to everybody. But then Simeon got this personal promise that he would see Jesus. So he's got these things in his life, and he's working it out. Now, in verse 27, it says Simeon was led by the Spirit to the temple. Now, I've always kind of pictured Simeon sitting there at the temple gate, at the temple door. You know, this old guy sitting there, you know, looking at everybody going by. No, that ain't him. That's not him. But that doesn't have to be true that Simeon went every day waiting on God. I mean, it could just be true that he was a faithful guy at home, you know, having his nose in the scriptures and, you know, just going to the temple on Sabbath, kind of following what he was supposed to do as a believer, a follower of God. But whether he showed up every day at the temple or whether he was just waiting on God at home, you know what? His life had to be filled with faithfulness. Faithfulness. See, we don't know how old this personal promise is that he got. We don't know how many days or weeks or months or years Simeon had to wait before he saw Jesus. All we know is that he waited, and he waited the whole way until it happened. He waited on the work of God. Now, waiting, as you all know, is a really difficult thing. Waiting on the work of God, really, really hard to do. I mean, we get a word from him, and sometimes it's kind of vague. We don't know, but we know it's a word from him. And then, you know, we start waiting, we start praying. And then after a couple of days, we kind of forget that, you know, oh, yeah, God said this to me. We just forget. And then there's the waiting, impatient thing comes up there, and it's like, you know, God said this, but I think he wants to use me to bring this about, so I'm going to make it happen. That never turns out good for us. Waiting is hard to do. I found this article on time.com from May of 2012. Get this. Ketchup flows out of a glass bottle at a rate of 0.028 miles per hour. That's slower than a Galapagos tortoise, which according to the San Diego Zoo zips along at a blazing speed of 0.16 miles per hour. That's almost six times faster than ketchup coming out of the bottle. But waiting on the ketchup to leave the bottle soon might be a thing of the past. Dave Smith, PhD candidate at MIT, and a team of MIT and mechanical engineers and nanotechnologists have offered a possible solution to this ketchup flow problem. After months of research, Smith has and his team have developed Liquiglide, which they define as kind of a structured liquid that's rigid like a solid but lubricated like a liquid. And they say that if they coat the inside of bottles with Liquiglide, ketchup and other sauces will slide out faster than a Galapagos tortoise. Smith claims that the sauce industry, which has taken in $17 billion a year, would love to get their hands on this invention. Article concluded this way: let's hope some big ketchup companies bite on this, because I'm tired of waiting 5 minutes for my ketchup to hit my cheeseburger. Waiting is hard to do. It's hard to do. And when we're waiting on God, things really get interesting, because His timing always seems slower than our timing. I mean, I've always. I mean, His people waited 400 years to be rescued from Egypt. You know, they waited through 400 years of silence from the last prophet in the Old Testament to Jesus showing up on the scene. Simeon waited who knows how long, but I'm sure it felt like a long time. Once you've got a word from God, it is the heart's cry of a believer for the work of God to come about. That's normal. We long for that to happen. That's what being a believer is all about. So one thing I want to give you that will help you wait is to look back on life. Look back and remember the promises that God has made to you and how He worked to bring them about. I took some time last week to do this. I pulled out some of my prayer journals and I was looking over things that I had been praying over the years here at Living Streams. And, you know, a lot has happened in the last 3 years. A lot has happened. We had a very common prayer: Lord, give us a place of our own to meet. And as we prayed those prayers, God would speak to me. He would give me a word right from His word. Like in Isaiah chapter 22, it says, I will fasten him like a peg in a secure place. It was like, did you just say that to me? I mean, that's about Jesus, God. You know that, right? And I kind of underlined it, kept reading in Isaiah, kept coming back to me. And I realized, Holy Spirit, give me this promise. I'm going to fasten you in a secure place. I think this was happening in 2013. And then next year, 2 Kings chapter 3, verse 18 says, in the sight of the Lord, this is a light thing. I was on the end of a 21-day fast, and I had this dream that morning that Meyer sent me this email that said, we're going to give you the church. And then Pastor Hubert was in it giving me keys. And I'm like, dude, why are you giving me keys in my dreams to my own church? He said, the dreams are one and the same. I asked Hubert about it. He said, the dreams are the same. God's going to do something. That was in September of 2014. 6 months later, Meyer called with an answer to all of our prayers. We want to figure out a way for you to stay. And I said, that'd be an answer to prayer. Praise the Lord. And then 18 months later, we signed papers to buy this place. And now, I would say by the end of January, we'll be less than $100,000 away from writing God's name on the deed, because of some sacrificial, faithful, faith-filled giving. That is nothing short of God's work right here among us. And the thing is, He told me about it. He told me about it all the way through. He fulfilled every word that He had given to me about this place. It just didn't happen the way I thought it was going to happen, and it certainly didn't happen in the timing that I wanted it to happen. But it happened. When you look back on how God's given you a word and how He brought about that work, it helps you keep waiting, because He's the same God. Yesterday, today, and forever. Nothing's too hard for him. In the sight of the Lord, this is a light thing. Stand up whatever worry is on your radar today against God, and I promise you it will lose. Nothing is impossible for him. So we need to keep waiting because he's going to work. Now, it is absolutely true that sometimes you're going to feel like God is never going to come through. Sometimes you're going to feel like God is not hearing you pray. Sometimes you're going to feel like God isn't there, that he doesn't care, that he doesn't know what's going on in your life. Sometimes it's going to feel that way, but that is just how it feels. None of that is fact. None of that is true. We got to let God be the one that has the big picture. We got to let him, we got to trust him to know that, you know, he's got this plan. It's bigger than just the plan he has for my life. And he's working it out. And we need to trust his plan. I mean, he's working in a gazillion different ways right now. And so sometimes that, you know, that leaves you waiting and you don't know what to do. When you find yourself in that situation, I want to encourage you, when you don't know what to do, do what you know to do. Be faithful. Be faithful and keep waiting. Romans 8:28, and we know that God causes everything to work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to his purpose for them. So we trust his promises, we trust his plan, and we keep waiting for the work of God to happen in our life. Now, while we wait, you know, I said look back, but also look forward. Look forward to the worship of God that's going to happen in your life because you're waiting on him to work. Simeon's day, it came when God led him to the temple, and he knew in his heart when he saw this baby that it was Jesus. This was the Messiah. And he took him up in his arms, and he belts out this worship song over him to God. He says, God, you have kept your word, just like you said. My waiting is over. I can die in peace. My own eyes have seen your salvation. Anybody can witness what you've done for them because of the way that you have done it. Here is light for those outside your family who get to give them the path to come home. Here is glory for people inside your family to give them fulfillment in their life and purpose. That was his song. Now, the thing about Simeon's song is he only saw the birth of Jesus. He didn't see the birth of Jesus. And he's praising God like it's already done. He didn't see the cross. He didn't get to run to the empty tomb. He just saw the baby, and it was already done. His faith celebrated the presence of Jesus. Now, Simeon's waiting. It's over. But our waiting continues on. And what we know for sure is that we have the worship of God to look forward to. See, we're a lot like Simeon today. We are a lot like Simeon. We're waiting to see with our own eyes the face of our Jesus. We're waiting to hear with our own ears his voice, the voice of our Savior. Every day we wait for that. And when the waiting seems long and the days seem hard, it feels more like the treadmill than the open road adventure with God, we need to look forward to the worship of God. We need to be reminded that he is faithful. And so how do we do that? We need to pray. We need to pray like what we're waiting for has already happened, like Simeon did. Because that puts our hope back on God. Our hope is not in our own strength and our own abilities. Our hope is not in our family and friends. Our hope is not in our government. Our hope is not anywhere in those things. Our hope is in God. And when we have a word from God that his work is coming, we can count on the worship of God happening in our life somewhere in the future. We can count on it. Because of who he is and what he can do. And there's another song of the season that has a story behind it that I want to share with you. It's not a song that we sing, but it is a song that gets heard during the holidays. And so here's a storyteller that I wanted you to hear the story behind this song, I Heard the Bells on Christmas Day. Watch. Let's have our worship team come back. And isn't that an incredible story? I mean, it's got the spectrum of the lowest lows and the highest highs, you know, all things that we maybe have tasted some of, some experienced some of that. So as we count down, you know, these final hours of 2017, I know some of us are glad to say goodbye to a difficult year. Some of us are filled with joy and gratitude toward God for all that He's done for us. As we look ahead to 2018, all of us, no matter who we are, what we are going through, need to remember the words of Longfellow, God is not dead, nor does He sleep. God is not dead, nor does He sleep. We have a word, right? We have a word from God that we're going to see Him again. There's another Advent coming. He's coming back. Today, we're going to keep waiting. Keep waiting, but there's worship to look forward to. We can count on it. It's going to happen because He said so. Let's stand together. And thought we'd just close by putting our hope in the Lord. As we close the year and welcome a new one. Hey, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just want to rejoice today that You have given us this year, whatever it looks like. We thank You for Your faithfulness to us, for all the ups and downs and the way You met us in all of that. You are good. And Your presence is with us. There's no fear of being tossed aside because of our sins, because of Jesus. So Your love is great and Your Spirit is with us. What more could we need? And as we look ahead, Lord, to 2018, and we think about our world, we think about the headlines and everything that's going on, we think about the next semester of school or what our future might look like, we think about our health and what's going on there. Lord, all these things we want to just lay right at Your feet. The God of the universe, with whom all things are possible. Strengthen us for this day that You've given. Help us to keep waiting and have hope for that future day where we will worship You. And all this is changed. We love You, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.